So today we're going to conclude this series called Parched, When Life is Lousy and Your Well is Dry. And so far we've heard from a good many of you who have said that this series, the timing of this series has really been perfect for you, that it's been providential, that God has used this series to speak to you and deliver a message that you needed just in this season of your life, because you're going through a dry spell. You're in one of those parched places and life has thrown you a curveball, or maybe life has thrown you a series of curveballs. And the scripture passages that we've been studying over the last few weeks have been for you just what the doctor ordered. And along the way, we've been reminded of some powerful promises from Scripture. For example, from the story of Lazarus, one of Jesus's best friends who fell ill, we learned from that story that even when it seems like God is delaying in answering our prayers, or God is delaying in delivering us from our suffering, we have learned not to interpret that delay as disinterest, that God still loves us and God is with us. We've also learned that our pain has a promise. And that promise we learned from the Apostle Paul, that God's grace is sufficient. And God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And then finally, we learned that we can choose contentment. Even in the worst circumstances, we can choose contentment, and we can choose to never view ourselves or other people from the perspective of our limitations or our disabilities. And all of those are valuable lessons for those inevitable times when life is hard and our well is dry. Now, as pastors, Pastor Laura Allen, Pastor Travis, and I have the difficult privilege of being with families in many of those parched places, in many of those times when life is most challenging. And this week I've been thinking back over the last 20 years and some of those most challenging times. And I remembered the times that I've had the occasion to be with married couples whose marriage was just hanging by a thread. I remember those times when I've had the opportunity to pray with people who've just lost their jobs, or the chance to read Scripture at the bedsides of countless people whose time on this earth was quickly drawing to a close. And I've had the opportunity to stand in stunned disbelief alongside church members as we watched our sanctuary burn. I've had the opportunity to deliver the horrible news to parents about their children who have died. And I've held two stillborn babies in my arms because I could tell in each case those heartbroken mothers needed somebody to acknowledge that their baby and their pain was real. And I can tell you that nothing in seminary prepares you for those moments. Now, we have pastoral care classes. We're taught to read Scripture. We're taught to pray. But mostly what we're taught in those times is that there's really nothing you could do or say to take away the pain in those moments. And the best we can do as pastors is just be there, provide a non-anxious presence, to unflinchingly and sometimes defiantly cling to our faith in the face of intense suffering. But I have to tell you that experience has taught me that there's an even better pastoral care strategy. And that strategy is sometimes just to get out of the way. Sometimes the best thing I can do as a pastor is what I've found. My experience tells me that if I can just connect a suffering person with somebody else who has endured similar circumstances and similar suffering, then that provides more comfort than I ever possibly could with my words. For example, when a couple has a miscarriage, the best thing I can do is connect them with another couple who has been there and done that, who's navigated that same grief. Because there is nothing more powerful than the comfort offered by somebody who has been there. Now, of course, every loss and every grief is different. But when somebody who has suffered similar pain comes to you in your pain, they automatically have more capacity to provide comfort for you in that moment. All of which brings us to our scripture passage today. And I think what the Apostle Paul is saying to us from his letter to the Corinthians. And so I'm going to begin reading this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. And I learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is your misery can become your ministry. Can you do that for me? Your misery can become your ministry. Now, before we dive deep in this passage, it's worth remembering that the Apostle Paul, who is writing this letter to the Christians in Corinth, is no stranger to suffering himself. During the course of his ministry, you know, after he had his Damascus Road experience where he went from being a persecutor of Christians to being the biggest spreader of the gospel the world has ever known, after that experience and during the course of his ministry, Paul suffers a lot. We read about his journeys, and in almost every town or city to which he travels to spread the good news of Jesus, Paul ends up being chased out of town, beaten, arrested, imprisoned. He was shipwrecked a total of 4 times during his ministry. And on top of all of that, just 11 chapters after our passage this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us about this terrible thorn in the flesh. This miserable physical ailment that plagues him. And you might remember from a few weeks ago how Paul prays to God 3 different times. He begs God to take away this thorn in the flesh, this painful condition. But he says God's answer to him each time is, "My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." So when it comes to suffering, Paul understands. Paul's been there. He's done that. He prayed to God to take away some of his suffering, and God didn't do it. Instead, God just reminded him that God's grace was sufficient. And so when he talks about suffering and he talks about God's comfort, Paul knows what he's talking about. But in the midst of it all, his suffering doesn't cause him to fall away from faith. In fact, quite the opposite is true. At every turn, he seems to become more and more solidified in his faith in Jesus and in the power of the resurrection. So Paul brings all of his experiences to bear on ministry. And in his accumulated wisdom, he writes in verse 3, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." Now, I'll be honest with you, I read that and I thought, "Oh, wait a minute, Paul. Are you talking about the God to whom you prayed begging repeatedly for your agonizing thorn in the flesh to be removed from you. Is that who we're talking about, Paul? You know, the God who refused to take away what you yourself called a messenger of Satan sent to torment you. Paul, is that the God that you're calling the God of all comfort, our merciful Father? And it's almost like Paul's saying, you got it? It's exactly who I'm talking about. Just because God didn't take away my thorn in the flesh does not mean that God did not comfort me in it. And Paul goes on, verse 4, he says, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. In other words, what Paul is saying is there can be a purpose in the comfort, in your pain and subsequently in the comfort God gives us in our parched periods. There can be a purpose that emerges from that. Our comfort from God is to sustain us in our times of trouble, yes. But it's not just for us. That comfort is meant to be passed on and paid forward because God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who are experiencing those same troubles. God can bring purpose out of our pain and turn our misery into our ministry to other people. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in their troubles. That's why, for example, when somebody comes to me and shares that they're struggling with addiction, the first thing I try to do is connect them with somebody who has been in recovery for an extended period of time. Somebody who understands the struggle, somebody who really gets how difficult it is, and somebody who can see through the facades and sometimes the deception. I try to hook them up with somebody who has been there and done that and lived the tale about it. And it's not just addiction. It's any trying circumstance. If I hear about somebody being diagnosed with ALS, I can tell you that my first thought will be to connect them with our friend Wes Sexton. Because I can't imagine anybody would be able to minister to that person in that moment better than Wes, because he has stared unflinchingly in his circumstance and clenched, held fast to his faith. That's the nature of our pain and suffering. It makes us uniquely qualified for ministry to other people going through the same thing. 18 years ago, a friend of mine preached a sermon that I haven't forgotten. I remember we back in those days in the church I was serving, we had revivals. And so we had a revival preacher come in and he said this that I have remembered 18 years later. He said, our scars can be our greatest gifts for ministry to other people. Our scars can be our greatest gifts for ministry to other people. Now notice he didn't say wounds. They can't be fresh. They have to be healed. But when we go through difficult trials, when the pain is deep, we frequently are left with scars, and those scars can become gifts for ministry to other people because God comforts us so that we can comfort others. This week I learned the story of Jesse Reese. Jesse was a dedicated follower of Jesus, a member of Saddleback Church in California, a swimmer, and just an all-around good kid. And on March 3rd, 2011, at the age of 12, she was diagnosed with an aggressive form of brain tumor. And she received treatments, but medically speaking, the doctors did not give her much hope. And though she was terribly ill, she was allowed to go back and forth from the hospital to her home. She didn't have to remain in the hospital, but she felt guilty that other kids had to stay in the hospital, the other kids that she met on the hall in the hospital, she felt guilty that they had to stay there while she got to go home. And so she decided she wanted to do something to bless them. And she went home and she made her first joy jar, Jesse's joy jar. And she took it, those joy jars, and shared them with the kids on her hall in the hospital. And during the short 10 months between her diagnosis and her death, despite being terribly sick, Jesse personally stuffed and delivered over 3,000 joy jars. And when I learned about Jesse, I thought, now there is a girl who knew that her misery could become her ministry. Now, I learned about Jesse from one of our Advent members, Jamie Gregory. Jamie's the one who told me about Jesse. And if you don't know Jamie, this is the Gregory family. This is Jeff, Jamie, Caleb, and Joshua. And 4 years ago, just before, 2 weeks before his fifth birthday, their youngest son, Joshua, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And this week, I reached out to Jamie and Jeff and had a conversation. I asked Jamie, do you think that you would have been able to minister, that you have been able to minister to any families impacted by childhood cancer because of this experience, because of Joshua's battle? Do you think you've been able to minister to other people through this? And at first she said she couldn't think of anybody she'd really been able to do that for in particular. But the longer we talked, the more families she kept naming that she'd been able to reach out to and provide for and give comfort to. Other parents who had children who were diagnosed, who had similar experiences. And she talked about how she and other parents formed a community to surround these folks and help them navigate a nightmarish time and continued to be with them during their journey. She said, I've told so many moms, if you want to scream, rant, rave, cry, whatever you want to do, I'm there for you. I asked her how they made it through it as a family, through Joshua's 3-year battle with leukemia. And she said, well, God carried us. God gave us peace in the middle of all of our chaos, and now we have this wonderful family that none of us ever wanted to be a part of. We don't want any more members of the family, but if we get more, we will take care of them. Because of Joshua's experience, their whole family works tirelessly to promote awareness of childhood cancer, and they work tirelessly to raise funding for research. That's because Jamie and Jeff know what the Apostle Paul knew. That God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in theirs. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul does. He uses his suffering to encourage and minister to other followers of Jesus, even followers of Jesus gathered in this place almost 2,000 years later. In verse 8, Paul writes, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We've placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. Paul's faith was unshaken in the midst of his suffering, and he used his misery for ministry to the people he came into contact with and for generations to come. So if you are ever tempted to lose faith because of suffering, if you ever are in the midst of the crucible and you have big doubts, I want you to remember Paul. And not just Paul, remember all of the many people who were closest to Jesus, who were his friends, who walked alongside him, who became his disciples, and remember their suffering because not one of them was exempt from suffering. In fact, they suffered more because they were followers of Jesus. And yet they did not lose their faith. If anything, their faith was even more resilient in their suffering. So I hope that we can learn from that there is a way forward. There is a way to face our circumstances, our disappointments, our dead ends, our difficulties, and not only cling to our faith, but pass on and pay forward to others the comfort that God has comforted us with, the comfort we have received from our Heavenly Father. And it's not that God causes our suffering. I don't believe God does things to us, but I do believe that in the midst of our suffering, God will do something in us and can do something through us if we will let Him work in our lives. I believe that our ministry absolutely can, our misery absolutely can become our ministry to other people. And in the process, God will bring water to our parched places. Let us pray. Lord, we know that You understand our suffering because You have been there. You became flesh, lived among us, and took on our suffering. In our darkest times, remind us, O Lord, that You are with us. Comfort us in order to sustain us in our troubles, but also that we might pass on and pay forward Your comfort to others. Lord, give us purpose in our pain. Transform our misery into our ministry for other people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.